Season 4, Episode 2. My insane Florida nephew, Pancho Guerrero, from the beautiful city of Jacksonville, barely in the land of stupidity. Although, we were talking, this week, I guess at least the governor isn't stupid, right? You gotta admit that. He's definitely not the Florida man, at least not in our definition of the Florida man. Yes, this is the week that everyone is going to lose their heads if their person isn't elected. Well, I guess if you're not a conservative, you're going to lose your head. So let's just see who acts the most stupid when their side doesn't win. You know, the funny thing is they're asking, even the president was saying, he's going to tell you who to vote for, Just ask yourself, will you be satisfied with the outcome of the election of the duly elected people? Okay. Well, let me see. If Republicans are elected and all the liberal Democrats decide to lose their minds and riot and protest, I don't know. And then my favorite part was when he was talking about how it's the MAGA Republicans that are threatening civil disobedience and all this, that, and the other, and they're election deniers, and they're saying that the election is not going to be done right, when it was Hillary Clinton herself this past week who came out and told everybody the election is going to be rigged. I don't get it. Anyway, we're going to come out on the other side of that stupidity in the next episode, but until then, we got plenty of stupidity for you this week, and it's not even involving politicians.
Okay, he's too stupid to talk and too ugly to eat.
Because it's a great big stupid world on a dirt clod out in space. Where it stops, nobody knows. If Jesus came back today, they'd try to book him on the Oprah Winfrey Show. Because it's a great big stupid world.
He's given a piece of his mind to so many people, it's a wonder there's a mind left. It's Insane Eric Lane's Stupid World.
The stories you hear in this podcast are all true. None of the names have been changed because, well, we've all done something stupid. I'm Insane Eric Lane. Welcome to my stupid world. And look, if you see something stupid, please say something stupid, okay? That's what we do here. And I've got lots of five-star stupidity ready for you for our weekend podcast, our weekend episode featuring Pancho Guerrero, my insane Florida nephew. And, of course, I hope you give it a five-star rating. I hope you even give it a rating, frankly, for that matter. And maybe give it a review. Make it a really stupid review. I might even read it in an upcoming episode, Share the podcast with your friends, too. Because you know they're looking for something stupid and you don't want to be stingy, okay? And while you're at it, if you haven't done so, if you're listening for the very first time and decided maybe I want to hear more of the stupidity, subscribe. That way you always will have stupidity at your fingertips to hit play every time a new episode is published to your podcast player. And of course, if you want to listen to your stupidity uninterrupted without, buffering issues with crappy cell service or internet, download every episode. That way you can have uninterrupted stupidity. By the way, if you haven't done so, I recommend Podcast Addict. Great app for your podcasting, okay? Totally customizable in so many ways, even the free version. There's a couple of paid versions there as well. Don't forget, this is one of two episodes I put out every week. The midweek bonus episode features the Genius Awards and my Insane Week in Review every Wednesday. So make sure you get all of the stupidity that's due to you, okay? Because we got plenty of it for you, like this particular story about a young 19-year-old South Florida man who captured, and you might want to count very carefully, 28 Burmese pythons. He did it during a 10-day competition. That's what they do in Florida. They have a competition to capture pythons. By the way, it was created to increase awareness about the threats of this invasive snake that poses to the state's ecology. Not only that, it poses a lot of things to the state's population, too, frankly. Matthew Concepcion, was among the 1,000 participants from 32 states, Canada, and Latvia, who participated in this annual challenge, which removed 231 of these unwanted pythons, according to the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission in a news release. Frankly, that's definitely 231 too many. By the way, for his efforts, the guy was awarded $10,000, ultimate grand prize, courtesy of the Bergeron Everglades Foundation. Dustin Crum won a $1,500 grand prize for removing the longest python, 11 feet. Just makes me want to jump in the car and drive to Florida. Earlier in the year, a team of biologists hauled in the heaviest Burmese python ever captured in the Sunshine State. That female python clocked in at 215 pounds, nearly 18 feet long, and had 122 developing eggs, according to the Conservancy of Southwest Florida. Still want to go to Florida to vacation? Huh? Do you? Huh? Burmese pythons are not protected except by Florida's anti-cruelty law, so participants had to document that each snake was killed humanely. I can't wait to tell my wife that if you go to Florida and you want to kill a snake, you've got to do it humanely. No. You know how I kill a snake? Chop, 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 chop. 28 Burmese pythons, people. You know, that would make a nice net of luggage. $10,000 you get for 28 pythons, huh? I don't know. Maybe I'm just a wuss. But I wouldn't even go near one python for $10,000, folks, okay? I'm just telling you. I know that's a lot of money, but, you know, I have better ways to earn it. Well, there was a 38-year-old man in Minnesota who shot himself in the leg at the Twin Cities Harvest Festival corn maze. Yeah. The man was at the maze with his family. He just walked out of the corn pit, which is a children's play area. Apparently, he had kernels of corn stuck in his boots, and so he bent over to try to dislodge them. That's when his gun fired once, the bullet striking his own leg. Sounds like he's going to be okay, but not any updates on his condition. Now, here's the witness to the event, Tom Karate, and Officer Elliot Faust, they'll enlighten us about this little odd situation.
All of a sudden, I heard this bang, and I thought it was fireworks or something. Everybody was having a good time. The kids were laughing and playing and having a ball, you know. And then that happens, and, you know, it was really upsetting.
He was removing corn kernels from his boot by bending over at the waist, and that's when the firearm discharged. Yeah, maybe you're carrying it for personal protection, but you also have to think about the people around. You have that responsibility to make sure that you're making good decisions and that you have the equipment and that you're conducting yourself to keep everybody safe.
Obviously, there's outrage from some parents. I mean, the place was packed with families, you know. The man's identity has not been released, but he is a licensed gun owner and was legally carrying a concealed firearm. The Mays didn't ban the guns on their property, but I don't know, his recklessness might have broken the law. So the cops are still considering whether or not they should file charges against him or not. You know, I think mainly he suffered enough, you know what I mean? First off, he injured his leg, and second of all, he's stupid! There's a lot of criminal repeat offenders out there too, you know? Everything from serial killers to the seasoned bank robbers, and to right down to the people that just can't stop speeding, but I think this is a weird modus operandi. There's a couple of years ago, a thief in Chicago named James Killingsworth was arrested after he punched a woman in the face during a robbery attempt and kicked a cop in the groin while he was being taken into custody. Well, he finally got out of prison recently, and just 6 days later, he was arrested for once again punching a woman and kicking a cop in the groin. Okay. The woman's fine, and so was the cop. But James was charged with felony aggravated battery of a peace officer and a misdemeanor battery. So guess what? Back into prison he goes, yeah. It's a little magic word there called recidivism. Oh, well, does anybody, though, in your family that you know of have a bad habit that is so out of control that you hide or take it away from them? I guess it's a bad thing to bring up things like this, you know, with all the Halloween candy that's been left over. But anyway, a 64-year-old woman in North Carolina, well, she didn't like her father drinking Diet Mountain Dew. Diet Mountain Dew. I mean, I thought maybe alcohol, whiskey, but no, it's Diet Mountain Dew. She says you should not be drinking Diet Mountain Dew. So she took four bottles of the Diet Mountain Dew outside, grabbed a revolver, and opened fire. That'll teach him. The woman doesn't live in the middle of nowhere, by the way. She's in a residential neighborhood. So the neighbors kind of freaked out and called the cops, as they probably should. So when the cops showed up, they were told by the woman about her father and about all the Diet Mountain Dew that he drinks. So in a Facebook post, the police, as a public service, said that they issued a citation for an undisclosed amount and said that while they were, quote, they totally understand that not everybody likes Mountain Dew, shooting at bottles around other homes and people is dangerous. By the way, the heading on the post is, please don't do this. You know, D-E-W, do, get it? Now, shooting at soda cans in a neighborhood with other homes and people all around, it's a big no-no, people. But everybody was all for it when they found out it was a can of diet soda. I mean, you know, I know what she did probably could have caused some serious bodily harm. And after drinking diet soda, shooting a gun could have actually hurt somebody too. Really. And something else, like running into a glass door. I've done this sometimes. You know, run into a glass door, it's really embarrassing. Could even be dangerous. Especially, you know, if you're a bird. We used to have a big plate glass window in my home when I was a kid growing up. Huge plate glass window. And we would constantly hear things banging on the window. These birds trying to fly in, you know. But I think this is the first time I've ever heard of somebody going to jail for running into a glass door. There's this surveillance video online of a thief stealing handbags. It's like worth, $18,000 from a Louis Vuitton store in Washington State, in broad daylight, no doubt. So the thief runs inside, snatches up all the bags, runs away, but he misjudges where the exit is. Slams right into a large floor-to-ceiling plate glass window. Slammed into this thing so hard, he knocked himself out cold. So, and, oh, by the way, the thief, he's a 17-year-old boy. Police said he's a member of a local retail crime theft ring with a long track record of heists. Well, 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 what do you know? It's unclear what charges he's facing, but two other members of the group have been convicted of felonies in previous incidents. It's really unclear what his condition is. Don't think he was seriously hurt, except maybe his pride and his court record, probably. Well, there's a new job posting in Pasadena, Texas, that's really turning heads and making a few people laugh and some others, well, probably scowl when they see it. According to KHOU-TV, they said that the owner of the business called Pets Gone Wild Resort put up a sign looking for help. You know, the help wanted sign. But it's not the kind of help wanted sign that you've normally seen. I don't think I've ever seen a sign like this. The sign says, and I quote, now hiring non-stupid people.
I just hate stupid people. They should have to wear signs and just say, I'm stupid. That way you wouldn't rely on them, would you? You wouldn't ask them anything. Be like, excuse me. Oh, never mind. I didn't see your sign. Last time I was home, I was driving around. I had a flat tire. I pulled my truck in one of those side of the road gas stations. The attendant walks out, looks at my truck, looks at me. I swear to God, he went, tire, go flat? I couldn't resist. I said, nope. No, I was driving around. Those other three just swelled right up on me. Here's your sign.
So driving west down Crenshaw Road in the southern part of Pasadena, Texas, it's the sign. It's hard to miss. I mean, here's the owner of Pets Gone Wild Resort. His name is Walter Parsons. He's talking about why he decided to put out this sign that says, now hiring non-stupid people.
They don't think they're stupid, so they came in to apply. We're trying to weed out the people that do come in. We hired one last week, lasted 3 days. And repeatedly, get off your cell phone, you've got dogs to watch. At least be as smart as I am.
Parson says the resort's been trying to fill positions for a while, and they've made postings online but haven't had many applicants, and the employees that they've hired really haven't worked out too well. Kind of thin in the job pool, you know. Parson said the main reason they got the sign was to grab people's attention. Well, they succeeded in that department. He said within 24 hours, they got 3 solid applicants. And they really don't have any more use for the sign. But not everybody's happy. One resident named Taylor N. said she was appalled when she saw the sign, and there are other non-offensive ways to grab attention. Others said it gave him a good laugh. Person said that it's just his effort to find the best employees possible. You know, it's a free country. If you want to put up a sign that says hiring non-stupid people, go ahead. To me, that's the smartest thing anybody could probably do. Truth in advertising, you know? Well, is more grant money being funneled for nose-picking studies? You know, I mean, you know, you can pick your friends and you can pick your nose, but you can't pick your friend's nose, and apparently you can't even pick your own nose. Yeah, it's because this is the second nose-picking study that I've seen in the past few days. In fact, last week there was a study I saw that found at least 12 primates picked their nose. Primates! Well, now there's a separate study that finds that doing that too much, picking your nose, it'll give you Alzheimer's. I got a nose goblin. I mean, get up in here real good. You know. Well, what it is, there's a certain kind of bacteria. It's a type of chlamydia. Right. It's been linked to dementia. Is it in your nose? I don't know. Some experts think this is what causes it. The researchers at Griffith University in Australia have shown that it can get into your brain by entering through your nose. So that when they tested it on mice, their brain cells responded by producing something called amyloid beta proteins. Basically, they're little things that clump all together and form plaques in your brain that mess with your neurons. And they've been linked to Alzheimer's disease before. They think that the bacteria can bypass your bloodstream and get into your brain through your olfactory nerve, which is what gives you the sense of smell. They do say more research is needed. I guess they need this, you know, it should just come out and say more nose picking is needed, I guess, right? They're going to do a follow-up study. Yeah. We're mining some nose goblins for science. Yeah, the researcher who led the study says it's probably a good idea to pick your nose less. It's probably good for etiquette, too, for that matter. By the way, plucking the nose hairs ain't such a good idea either. I know, it can be a problem because it gets a little crowded up there sometimes, you know? You got to kind of clear the airways. I don't like it whenever I'm talking to somebody and they haven't picked their nose in so long you can see all the stuff when you talk to them, you know, and you just, sometimes I just want to say, hey, can you just pick some of that out, you know? Well, pretty dumb to mess with a radio station or its staff. I'm in radio. You don't mess with radio people because, you know, we have a pretty powerful way of getting the word out, okay? We've got ways to take care of this kind of stuff, you know. Some guy, though, broke into a radio station up in Billings, Montana, you know, because there's not a whole lot to do in Billings, Montana. They stole their branded SUV with the station's logo boldly printed in bright pink letters. It's a brand new Kia Sportage. They recently got, it's got Mix 97.1 in huge letters on the side, so I would say not the most inconspicuous car you could steal. This dude gets inside the offices because of an elevator that should have been blocked access to the floor at night. It malfunctioned, see, so he was able to get in. He uses a screwdriver to pop the lock on the door, finds the car keys sitting on a desk, steals a T-shirt. Oh, yeah, we got to have a radio station T-shirt. Them things are valuable. A woman in a small town about 20 miles away calls the cops when she saw him in her church parking lot. Yeah, you don't see that every day, a radio station van sitting in a church parking lot. Yeah, he's kind of kicking the tires and acting a little suspicious, right? Well, thanks to the bold paint job, she was pretty sure that wasn't his car he was driving. So she calls the radio station to let them know. Here's actually Josh Rath and Nikki Vega from the station Mix 97.1.
Montana's dumbest criminal, because he decided to not only rob a radio station, but for whatever reason, he decided to steal a bright pink and white Kia belonging to Mix 97.1. We're going to notice the bright pink car gone.
I'm just glad none of us were here when he was here.
Luckily, the cops found the moron at the scene before he caused any damage. Although he did smoke inside the vehicle, though. Now he's facing multiple charges, felony charges, by the way, and I think he's probably going to be banned from having any winnings on the contest at the radio station. That's it, man. That's it. No more free tickets for you, buddy. You're done. Yeah, anyway. Well, there was an AT&T store in Oklahoma that was ransacked early one morning, and the burglars thought they were being smart by cutting the power to the store. And then they broke a window to get in. But, well, you see, if the power had been on, there might have been enough light for the thieves to realize that one of them left their personal cell phone in the store. Did I mention it was an AT&T store? Well, the cop shows up. They noticed the used phone and took it in as evidence. Well, after they left, the thief, obviously missing his phone, goes back to the store, tells the employees, I think I left my phone here. But they told him, well, we don't have it. So the guy leaves. Well, then the employees call the cops, reports the car that the guy was driving, and the cops track him down. When the cops approaches the vehicle, they ask him for his name, and what does he say? Matt Damon? Well, he wasn't. His name was actually Dylan Slack, and he and his father, David McCullough, well, they got arrested for burglary and false impersonation. Don't know if he ever got his phone back either. So, well, have you been concerned about a zombie apocalypse? A lot of people actually, that's something they actually worry about. It's probably something most folks will only see in a horror movie, but it really never hurts to be prepared, though, right? Just in case. There's a recent report that's been examining all of the factors that would come into play if the undead began walking through the American streets. They have found Florida is the best place to be if you're looking to survive the oncoming zombie invasion. You know, look what they got Ron DeSantis. Why not, right? Inspired by the CDC's zombie preparedness guide from 2011. Yes, the CDC really made this. Researchers at Lawn Love analyzed 26 key factors that measure zombie preparedness across 200 U.S. cities. Somebody has way too much time on their hands. Now, when you consider aspects like the number of people in poor health in the community, the number of local supermarkets, the number of hunting supply stores, the number of basements or bunkers under local homes, well, it turns out Orlando, Florida, tops the list of the best cities to be in so you can survive a zombie apocalypse. Orlando finishes number one in terms of supplies and protection. And, you know, they got Disney World, too. City also ranked high in terms of vulnerability and mobility, too, by the way. Mainly because people who frequently visit are usually dealing with the living dead anyway, right? Yeah. But I guess, you know, you could live in Orlando. But getting dismembered and eaten by zombies sounds a little more appealing. You know, everybody has a little stupidity in their world, and frankly, I would like to hear about it, okay? If you've maybe got a great stupid story from your stupid world, maybe you just want to respond to one of mine. I'd like to hear about it. Let me hear from you. You can contact me easily just by email at shoutout@insane, E-R-I-K-L-A-N-E, or if you got a question or a comment about something that you've heard on the podcast or something that Pancho Guerrero has said on the podcast, or maybe you just want to tell me of some firsthand experience of some stupidity you've encountered, well, let me know. I want to hear from you. I might even use your comments on an upcoming episode. So record a message for me at podcast.insaneericlane.com.
and give me your feedback, okay? And by the way, if you haven't done so already, and I just can't imagine why you haven't already, follow me on social media. You can look me up on Facebook or Twitter by searching out the handle Insane, E-R-I-K-L-A-N-E. Gorging yourself on leftover Halloween candy?
Unfortunately, yes.
You're not like this one mother that it's going to be a story that I'm going to feature next week. But she, I guess, made the mistake of confessing online that she normally throws out the Halloween candy from her kids because she didn't want them gorging themselves on candy, and she forgot this year, and the kids found it the next day, and they got up and they were hugging her and kissing her and thanking her, and then now she's getting canceled because she talked about she threw out all of the kids' Halloween candy.
I mean, like, that is an interesting thing to have to, like, I guess figure out, because I as a kid I remember eating a bunch of it at the time, but it was policed how much.
Was policed.
But, you know, with our 2-year-old, like, if we gave him one piece a day, basically, this is going to last all year.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Although, I'll tell you what I still love is watching, if it's nothing else I ever watch, because really the guy is a jerk any other time, but I love watching Jimmy Kimmel's video of how the parents lied to the kids and they tell the kids they ate all their Halloween candy and watch them completely have a meltdown.
Oh, that sounds exactly like something you would do.
Oh, it would be something that my father would do to me. You know, I come by it naturally. Okay.
Yeah, so, that's right.
But you know, for us, we're old people now, so we don't have any kids at home, so we just kept the light off.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. And besides, we have a wife who doesn't feel it's economically feasible to go out and spend lots of money on candy that you're going to just basically give away to the neighborhood kids.
I get that, especially when you don't like the neighborhood kids.
Well, that's true. But, I mean, literally around here, I don't know what it is in your neighborhood, but it's like they bust them in from all over the county to come through here.
Yeah, especially if you got a good neighborhood that gives out good candy, then.
Yeah, you know.
You do see a lot of that.
Yeah, I'm honestly, as like, you know, the kids are like, you know, they're coming in. I'm like, I don't recognize you. Where you're from? Oh, well, we're like from Altoona. I'm like, what? You know, so, I don't know. It's crazy.
The lengths you go for free candy.
Yeah.
I carved pumpkins over the weekend. They looked glorious. And then this afternoon I had to throw them all out because they've been baking in a hot sun.
Right. Well, hopefully you're going to compost them.
Oh, no, they smell too bad. I mean, they were rotting already. So they are tied up in a garbage bag and then tied up again. Like, you know, like you wrap around like the drawstrings around the opening as well. So that way, like, there's no air getting in and out. I did one of those to make sure it doesn't stink up the rest of the week in there.
See, here they're encouraging you to either donate them to farmers so they can give them to their pigs or something like that. You know, but you probably don't have a lot of that around your neighborhood.
Oh, no. And also, you know, typically a carved pumpkin is going to last one, maybe 2 weeks. But in Florida, it lasts maybe 3 days.
That's true. That,
you know, it would be different if it didn't happen to get all of a sudden hot again just in time.
There is an advantage of living in an area where you have colder weather, you know.
So. I will say we did roast the pumpkin seeds, though, and we've been snacking on those all week.
Well, that's cool. That's cool. So did the little Poncho, did he make out pretty good on the candy?
Oh, yeah. He made out pretty good, especially considering the the amount of he gets tired out pretty quickly anyways. He can start to get bored after a little bit.
Yeah.
So we only really hit up a few streets.
Yeah.
When there's a whole neighborhood. I mean, next year or the year after, he'll be probably trying to get the whole neighborhood.
Sure.
No,
sure.
I think I made out pretty well because I got a hot dog from someone as well as a Jello shot. And so, so while we're going out, you know, getting candy for the little one here, I'm getting a little bit of some for myself.
So did the whole family dress up or was it just a little poncho?
It was just a few of us. My dad put on a bandana, a vest, and a cowboy hat.
Okay.
We had a friend come with us, and she kind of went as like Minnie Mouse. Okay. Kind of simple and basic, but it was still good. And then I went ahead and bought a two-pack like queen size pillowcases that were brown.
Yeah.
And I went ahead and cut a neck hole and two armholes in one of them.
Yeah.
Miraculously, I fit inside this queen size sheet.
Wow.
Barely, I will say, because I'm like a 6 foot two, guy. I realized when I put it on to test it out that it was not coming off. And so I just left it on all day. And then I cut the other sheet with a little hole kind of down the middle. So there's like a small little pointed hat that kind of like, you know, framed my face. So it looked like it kind of had this little hood hat kind of thing on. And I took some rope, tied it around me like a belt, and then I took my dad's wheelbarrow and went around banging on the wheelbarrow as I walked around the neighborhood yelling, "Bring out your dad!" And if you ever watch the old Monty Python and the Holy Grail movies,
yes.
I did this 15 years ago in high school, and I figured, I'll give the neighborhood that I did this in a reprise this year.
Well, yeah. I'm surprised. Did you see many zombies when you were out trick-or-treating?
No, not really. No.
Well, you know why, don't you?
What was that?
Well, this is one of the stories you did not pick, but I actually read about it in another segment. Florida is like the place to go if there's ever a zombie apocalypse. They say you should go to Florida. And particularly Orlando is the main city to be safe from a zombie.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, so that's probably
why. That you don't want to get in like the country, so that way you don't get the population that you get. But I guess if you get enough people there, then you get enough people that would fight and kill the zombies too. But I'm not sure how that goes.
Well, I can tell you this from the stories that we've picked for this week. I just said, well, I'm just not even going to wait for us to record the podcast. I'm just going to go ahead and put the little E warning on this episode from the get-go. But this is the story. This is the story that you sent me the link for.
That I did. This happens sometimes. I've got two of those like that this week.
Yeah, yeah. And I didn't realize that. I mean, this was just crazy. I mean, imagine being the law enforcement officer that this actually happened to. But anyway, yeah. How did you come across this thing?
Every once in a while, a headline catches my eye, and I either can predict the future that it's just going to show up on the list this week, or I kind of just forward it on to you. This is one that it had. I see the beginning word was like video or watch, and I was thinking, okay, well, I've got to see this now. When I read the rest, where a guy bursts into flames after getting tased. Now I know we've talked about this before with a guy that covered himself in like hand sanitizer.
Yes.
I think it was.
Yes.
But this is dash cam footage from a police car. And so it's worth watching. It's kind of wild to see the video here. It was sent to the TV station KHBS. It was TV40/29. This is by Arkansas State Police. It shows a 38-year-old man's backpack bursting into flames after being really a 38-year-old man bursting into flames is what it is after being tased by a state trooper with the Arkansas State Police. And now Christopher Gaylor he's in the hospital. He's the guy that was on the motorcycle, and he's expected to be okay. So that's starting it off there. That maybe makes a difference between whether or not you want to watch the video or not.
Yeah.
So no excuses at this point. Authorities, they do say that the backpack was carrying that he was carrying had a gallon of gasoline in it, and that's what started the fire. Now it happened in early October at around 1 a.m. That's when an Arkansas State Trooper tried pulling over Gaylor, who was traveling on his motorcycle east along Asher Avenue near Pine Street in Little Rock. Now I have no idea where that is, but the video is cool. Watch it. Authorities, they say he had no license plate exhibited. He refused to stop and sped up to speeds of 100 miles per hour, and also ignored things like multiple traffic stops, traffic signs, traffic lights. He encountered another state trooper while making his way toward I-30. The chase eventually ended when he jumped off his motorcycle in North Little Rock and took off running. This is when troopers behind him started running after him. One pulls out his taser to apprehend him, and you just see him light up into flames. I mean, like a full human-sized flame is just, I mean, explodes up. Now, what ends up happening, the barbs of the taser just so happened to puncture the gas can. And that just was all it needed to let this thing light. We actually have some of the police camera audio from the incident.
He's on foot. He crashed out.
Get on the ground! Put your hands behind your back.
Now, authorities say he had a gallon of gasoline in his backpack, and that's what caused the fire. He should be thankful that police troopers apparently have cans of fire extinguisher and stuff on their motorcycles or cars. That's what I thought. I saw the police officer run away, and I thought, oh my gosh, this guy's going to burn to death. And then, like, seconds later, another one's running forward with a fire extinguisher. So that was pretty quick. Yeah. Well, Gaylor, like we said earlier, he's in the hospital, expected to be okay, other than the fact that he's not facing charges of felony fleeing, failure to register a vehicle, no liability insurance, driving with a suspended license, and reckless driving.
Wow.
The state trooper involved, or troopers involved, are facing no disciplinary actions.
That's just, I did watch the video, and I'm just like, I mean, honestly, it's bad enough that police officers worry about whether they're going to get shot, okay, when they're going after these perps, but never in a million years would you expect to fire a taser and then have them basically combust. So my biggest question, who carries a gallon of gasoline in their backpack?
I don't know. I guess someone who's on a motorcycle and trying to drive a long distance. Is that like the car equivalent of like wearing diapers to not have to stop for the
bath? I guess. I mean, there are things called saddlebags you can put on your motorcycle, or I don't know. It's, I guess, well, one thing, the guy can certainly tell his friends that he went down in a blaze of glory, you know?
Shot down in flames.
Went down in flames. Well, and it was very similar to the chivalry good deed that this one guy tried to do for this woman. Have you ever tried to, you know, do something nice for a woman and it kind of goes up in flames? Well,
especially when you try to give a compliment sometimes.
Yeah. They don't take it the right way. Well, look, I mean, you've heard the stories. Okay. Somebody finds this long lost ring. They track down the owner, and then it's like, they're so thrilled. They may give them a reward. You get, you know, on a good news story on Fox News or something, you know. Well, that isn't always the case. Take, for instance, the story of a man named Steve Andrews here a few months ago. Steve discovered this wedding band in the English Channel. Now, he was on the banks and was, you know, doing some metal detecting. And obviously, he found this ring and it has a date of 1989 on it. So he starts trying to track down the owner. And miracle of miracles, he finds the woman that the ring belongs to. With one small caveat, she did not want it back. turns out she went through a bad divorce with her ex, and she intentionally threw it into the ocean after the split. So, well. So Steve said the woman says that she told him, go put it back where you found it. She never wants to see that ring ever again. Can you imagine if you're the woman and you throw the ring in the ocean and it shows up again with the guy trying to give it back to you?
It's almost like one of these haunted dolls from like a scary movie or something that you throw out and it shows back up.
So this guy says he'll obey her wishes. He said the next time he's down in that area, he'll toss the ring back into the channel. So that's just bizarre.
That is pretty. That's what you get for trying to be, I guess, poetic or dramatic about it by throwing it in the ocean. But I will say, if you're going to do it, maybe tie an anchor to it or go at least get it into like the deep ocean and chuck it out there.
Yeah,
I've got some. My thinking, if it were me, would be hike or schedule a visit or trip to somewhere that's got volcanoes, basically. And you got to bring some buddies along with you. We will call it a fellowship. And you've got to hike up the volcano, and then you throw the ring into the volcano. Now, depending, you may not technically be allowed to do this or not, but no one else needs to know, you know?
True.
And you just reenact Lord of the Rings, and I don't think you're going to get that ring back. And plus, much better story, way cooler thing than just throwing it into the ocean. Yeah. So that's the way I would have gone about it, if you're going to be
– That's funny. That's
have
true.
A flair for the dramatic. But Well, you know, the fact that he threw it back into the water and didn't take it to a pawn shop, I would say, you know, pretty commendable. I think a lot of people would have preferred to just kind of cash in on something like that. But some guys need a little support to help prop up their confidence. The support is oftentimes found in a can. You know, maybe, instead of throwing a ring into the ocean, maybe she could have gone with like a nice emotional support animal or maybe an emotional support beverage. I've got your attention now. There's plenty of people for whom emotional support animals are a real help, you know.
Sometimes that's a stretch, but yes.
I've heard of some pretty wild and ridiculous emotional support animals.
I keep trying to convince my wife I need an emotional support ferret.
They smell, you know, they really
I know.
Maybe that's the metaphor though, in terms of what emotional support for you kind of really means. Well, there are those who kind of, you know, they try to push the whole concept a bit too far. If you want to look at Patricia Marks, she's got this 2014 hilarious take on emotional support animals. That was in the New Yorker. Uh-huh. Now, she recounts times or experiences of like taking a pig onto an airplane, a turkey to the deli, a snake into a... Well, actually, I think the snake should have been brought on the airplane, but the snake went boutique shopping with her, and then an alpaca to the art galleries and more, you know, and it's pretty classic. It's pretty fun. We've got Floyd Hayes. He's a 47-year-old resident of Brooklyn, New York, and he definitely falls into the second category that we talked about. He tried to register his beer as an emotional support animal. Now, you know, Hayes described on the website as a creative director, ideas crafter, and consultant, went on the USA Service dog registration website and entered in information for the 16-ounce pint glass of IPA. He says offers him comfort when he goes out. Ale Street News reported, "I'm not permitted to have a dog in my building, so I thought an emotional support beer would be more appropriate." Now, I know he's a New York guy, but in my mind, I kind of see him living in the South or something, you know.
Right.
It helps alleviate my anxiety and is a cost-effective way to manage stress. Hayes told the Digital Beer News publication, "I've had trouble trying to take the pint onto public buses and into places of business, so I had the idea to get it registered." Well, Hayes was reportedly able to get a registration number for his, pet beer. And if you want to look it up, it's registration number 10857-80890, although that number actually now returns as invalid. And so, you know, it's not really, you're not going to get a search result if you try to look that up. My theory is do you have to get a new beer registered every time? If you drank your emotional support animal or pet, does that mean that you don't have that? I would think that you don't have an emotional support beer anymore. You'd have to get a new beer poured and registered with
that's
that.
That's true. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, I think it's a brilliant idea that may soon become the newest offering from breweries across America.
Hi, I'm Jim Cook. Does beer make you feel good? Does it help ease stress? Do you drink it for emotional support? Why, of course! And now you can make it official with Sam Adams Emotional Support Beer. Like an emotional support animal, each Sam Adams Emotional Support Beer comes packaged in a tiny orange vest. Take it anywhere you feel uneasy, like to work, to the doctors, to your kid's parent-teacher conference. Sam Adams Emotional Support Beer is available in convenient six-packs, so you won't run out of the calming power of hops and barley. Or share some with your friends. No, you're not day drinking. It's an emotional support group. Sam Adams Emotional Support Beer. Please drink away your insecurities responsibly.
You bring up a good point. You know, if you drink your emotional support beer, there goes all your emotional support, you know, or even worse, if that particular brand of beer is ever recalled, you might have an emotional breakdown, you know?
That too. I mean, if you just say beer, you know, you'd be like, oh, I've got an emotional support dog. And then you could just replace the dog with anything. Like, you, oh, I ate the last dog and I've got a new one. I've still got the register. Like, it doesn't really work. Like, each can of beer is a different beer. Right.
Yeah.
Very least, I'm sure that it would have to come from the same batch or something, you know.
Well, at least, yeah. But still, but yes. Speaking of recalls, I know that you hear a lot about recalls these days. Okay, and it's like every time you turn around, there's a new recall. But I've not found one quite as surprising as this one. Okay, so you know, back when we had the whole pandemic start, everyone was going berserk, buying up all their Clorox wipes and all this kind of stuff. You know, I mean. Even at our house, we had the counters literally wiped down like every 6 hours. Okay. Which, by the way, they're saying now that was really the dumbest thing we could have possibly done during the pandemic. Okay. Because it did absolutely nothing to help prevent the spread of COVID-19. But if you're thinking about wiping down your kitchen with a bottle of Pine Sol all-purpose cleaner under your sink. Okay. Because my mother used that religiously. I remember we would go clean my dad's accounting office, and I remember pouring Pine Sol in the bucket, and that was my job to mop down the floors, help clean the office and all this stuff. So if you're one of those people that love your Pine Sol, just stop. Because apparently, believe it or not, it might actually contain bacteria that could cause serious illness in people with compromised immune systems. What do you know? So the Clorox company that makes it, they've actually had to recall the scented multi-surface cleaners and all-purpose cleaners, according to the Associated Press. Now, the recall doesn't include the original pine-scented Pine Sol, okay? That's the only product that's been registered as a disinfectant. So, but the products that have been recalled by the company that's based in Oakland, California, they have the scented Clorox Pro Pine Sol all-purpose cleaners and the Clorox Professional Pine Sol Lemon Fresh cleaners, according to the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission. So, I mean, it's kind of sad, you know? I mean, they don't even make Clorox the way they used to, you know? Kind of weird, you know? Now that you got to maybe go out and buy you a can of Lysol to clean the Clorox products or something.
it's like that scene from what is it, Hank Hill from King of the Hill, and he has a smaller WD-40 can to open the lid of his bigger WD-40 can.
I love that show. I love that show.
Good. Oh man, I could just not think about, you know, you think like Lysol kills 99.9% of germs or some of those, you know, those disinfectants, and so I'm thinking, like, if this is being recalled for bacteria and germs, That's got to be the 0.1% that doesn't get killed, which has got to be like super bacteria. You'd think that'd be even worse than anything else you could have gotten. I guess it wasn't quite the 0.1% super bacteria, perfect storm that I had worked up in my mind for that. But as crazy as I guess that would sound to be, I think that would be more likely. I would have pinned that as a more likely possibility than the next story that I've got, which might have something to do with your rating that you gave at the beginning. Because we've got a man who may have to buy, I don't know if it's called a toenail clipper, if you're going to be using it to trim your manhood. And I don't know if trimming your manhood, if that's technically good to be considered a circumcision or not. I don't know. My whole world is thrown up into the air. Nothing is safe anymore for me. There's this guy that is he's in China. This dude baffled doctors after being presented with a 5-centimeter horn that had grown out from the tip of his penis. They're calling it rhino dick. And actually, they're not. I made that up. But I think you should catch the unidentified 43-year-old male. You know, why don't these people with weird, genitalic, phenomena ever go on the record with their own name?
Never
get a real name for this. Well, this 43-year-old male, he sought medical advice after the hard and yellowish-brown growth sprouted from his genitalia. Now, incredibly, the Chinese man had already been to the doctor 3 years earlier with a similar condition. The mass had previously been surgically removed when it was the size of a grain of rice. But astoundingly, it had since grown back to become 5.5 centimeters by 3 centimeters in size.
Wow.
I know. A doctor said that it was smooth at the very top and rough at the base. I don't know if that's describing the penis or the horn growing from it. But there was they've got a quote here. Where there were several mass-like protrusions, they said, at the base. Oh, gosh. The bizarre condition is often likened to that of an animal horn and is usually spotted on the head and face. However, there have been incidents of horns appearing on the chest, neck, shoulders, and penis.
Wow.
Not surgeons in Taiwan. Not Taiwan, but Taiyuan. T-A-I-Y-U-A-N. I don't even know. It's in the northeast.
Taiyuan, I think it's.
Taiyuan. Well, they successfully removed the cancerous horn. So I guess it's cancerous too. I don't know.
Wow.
And the patient, he had since fully recovered, at least according to a recent entry in the Asian Journal of Surgery. Now, if you're trying to look this up on Google because you are, either a masochist or just like morbidly curious beyond like to the degree where the cat was killed by the curiosity. There's only been just 5 cases of penile and cutaneous horns that have been previously reported in medical literature since 1990. So you may have a hard time finding a legitimate picture. I don't know. I'm not looking it up. I'm going to tell you that. The doctors, though, they did suggest that having tight or excess foreskin are risk factors, as are penile injuries, poor hygiene, and STIs.
Yeah.
Here's where you could insert any joke about getting horny.
Yeah, really. This guy literally was horny. So I take it you have not seen the picture?
No.
Well, I have. And So I'm just going to say you do need to be prepared. That's all I can tell you.
So you're not recommending it, is what you're saying?
Well, like what you said, unless you're just really morbidly curious.
Oh, gosh.
Okay. Oh, so. Man. But yes, there is a link, and I will probably put that in our Telegram channel for those that just can't stand it anymore.
Oh my goodness!
But it, let's just say it's definitely a horn.
Oh,
yeah.
I half a second was enough.
Yeah, well, you can't unsee it.
No, it's almost. I mean, I would say that it adds a generous, extra 40% to this guy's length.
Yeah.
It's reminiscent of like a rhino beetle. You know the kind of talking about, right? It's got like the horn that kind of cuts out above the thing's head and just extends out. Look up a picture of a rhino beetle, and that's going to be close enough and save the pain and mental anguish.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty sure that there's not going to be, he's not going to find many people that's going to be wanting to receive his lovemaking as long as he has that thing on.
I mean, the way I was thinking of it was like, imagine if it was like a reverse barb. So that way, like, you know, that you'd get stuck, basically. Yeah. And, I don't even know why this guy let it get to that point.
Well, something done. Definitely, you know, if you're into the kinky porn, that's definitely a site you should certainly avoid. I can promise you. You know, actually, though, I guess if you're just trying to break the grip of pornography in general, maybe you should look at this freak of nature. It just might help to do the trick, to just get you out of the mood. You know, in fact, they might want to show a few. They may want to show a picture of this to some of the folks around at the Vatican, because they're having a problem with porn. Apparently, we got priests and nuns. It would seem, you know, they're human. Well, according to Pope Francis, who, by the way, admits that carnal lust is just part of human nature, even for those who've taken the vow of celibacy, well, the pontiff is now warning a group of seminarians to please be careful with the vice of pornography, which he said is not limited to criminal pornography, like that involving the abuse of children, but also relates to, quote, pornography that is a little normal, too. I never knew there was such a thing as normal porn. Have you ever heard of that?
I just think that the wording of this whole thing is a little bit odd.
Yeah. I mean, he says it's a vice that many people have, many laymen, many laywomen, and also priests and nuns. The devil gets in that way, he says.
Is he saying many lay men and many lay women? And also, is he talking about like having relations with priests and nuns and men and women?
I don't know. Of course, I
think it could be much better word choice for this whole thing.
Well, yeah. Of course, it's not the first time revelations of this nature have kind of been swirling around the Vatican. I mean, there was a survey by Torrent Freak, which traces web user statistics, that once found that a number of IP addresses inside the Vatican regularly downloaded pirated American movies and hardcore pornography. But lust, you see, isn't the only Vatican vice, see. The Wine Institute in California also estimates that Vatican City has the highest per capita wine consumption in the world, with each resident throwing back about 74 liters or about 105 bottles of vino each year. So, I don't know. Are you like me? Maybe you're just curious what priests and nuns consider normal porn? You know, I mean, look, by a show of hands, how many of us are uncomfortable hearing the Pope comment on the styles of porn out there, huh?
you remember the movie Airplane?
Yes.
And there's a nun on board, and then there's like a little boy on board. And
yep.
Throughout the movie, you see like random magazine titles in there. And you see the nun. The nun is reading a magazine called A Boy's Life. Yes. And then the boy is reading a magazine called A Nun's Life. And it's like, I can only imagine that there must be a centerfold somewhere in that magazine about the nuns. either that, or maybe that's the reason why the nun is reading A Boy's Life, but that wouldn't be considered normal porn, I think.
I don't think so.
Oh, yeah, no. But, you know, maybe there's a chance that if the you know, issue is as pervasive as what the Pope is suggesting it is, there's a good chance that many of these nuns and priests may have already met our next story subject here.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know. Look, I think that I'm just happy to hear is that I'm not the only one with this problem. You know. So,
Well, it's always good to know. It's always good to know you've got such a humble approach to these things.
It's funny because Eric gets to see the what's coming ahead. Oh man!
maybe we should ask Mrs. Poncho for a second opinion.
Oh man! Well, the UK. Oh man! Like the UK's Channel 4, they've got a series, and I don't know why a news channel, I'm assuming it's a news channel. I don't know why they even have a series like this. I can imagine it gets a lot of viewers because of they've got a series that follows people with extra large penises. You know, and well, for some, this is something that's that they're pretty chuffed about. others, though, are looking for penis reduction surgery to make their lives and relationships a little less complicated.
You know, the funny thing about it is most men dream about this, and the fact that they want to have a penile reduction surgery to make life less complicated is pretty hilarious.
I think that what could probably what some people would prefer, you know, you ever seen the movie Face Off?
Yeah.
But I'm sure that many people would love to kind of swap dicks with one another, not in a gay way, in a face off kind of way.
Yes.
But, you know, one person here that this news channel was looking at, they're named Joe, I guess. And it says Joe in quotes, so I don't know if that's his real name or not. But he openly speaks about being rejected from a job offer after it was thought that he had an erection during an interview. And this is what he says. It's about 9.5 inches now. He begins explaining that his penis is about 1/12 of my height. He's like, the scaling is off, quite off. It's thicker than my forearm. It's about 7 inches around. Joe continues, and even has he even has special underwear to stop his penis from falling out. with an added pouch to fit everything in. Speaking out about one incident in which he had to wear a suit for an interview, he says the response that he got was, "You're not going to get the job. We thought you were a good candidate, but we thought there was inappropriate behavior happening." Now, what happened was that they thought I had an erection throughout the whole interview, and they were very much like, "Your attire wasn't right." Now, viewers of this, new documentary, they've been left pretty stunned over the scenes, one of which features a 10.5-inch penis uncensored.
No.
The things you get away with on British television. He's made his impressive love muscle work for him by becoming an adult performer. And he's even managed to score over 25,000 followers.
I'll bet he has. Now, have you actually seen some of the video from this?
I tend to try to steer away from these things. And well, last time I didn't. I saw giant horns sticking out of one.
That's true. Yeah. Well, this definitely is. Yeah, you know, this guy, let's just say, horns his way in with what he has. Well, what he did, he literally created a plaster caster, if I can say that. And
okay.
Yeah, and made a mold of it. And he was sitting around the table with these other women, and he brings this actual mold of his manhood and sits it in front of the table. And the women are just like, they're beside themselves. They can't believe how big it is. Okay. So, of course, you know, for us to watch it, it's all blurred, but you can pretty much tell what it is, and you can pretty much tell the size. And yeah, you can actually, I guess it's a pay-per-view thing that you have to, that's the kicker. The name of the TV show, you know what the name of the TV show is called? It's called My Massive Cock.
Oh my gosh.
That's the actual name of the TV show. Okay.
This is something that you get like billed on your your hotel bill, you know, when you're leaving. I never ordered that. No, definitely not.
But the fact is that this has gripped the entire nation of England. The whole United Kingdom is gripped. Now this Channel 4, by the way, is
they're
not
gripped
part
by my massive cock.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Exactly. Well, this Channel 4, they're not anywhere related to the BBC. This is like one of these private companies that have their own thing. So I'm sure the BBC would never put something like this out. But apparently the entire country has been talking about this particular documentary series, and they're treating it as if it was a medical condition. So that's probably how they're getting around this whole thing. But what just blows my mind is, I mean, you can see kind of through the blur that you have full frontalage being shown on television of this dude's manhood. And And the funny thing is, you know, he's walking through town and he's talking and the camera's not even focusing on his face. They're zooming in on his crotch the whole time.
Oh my gosh. I can only imagine what would happen if, like, you know, there, this is made into a mockumentary starring Leslie Nielsen. I would imagine that there'd be kneecaps on it or something, like joints.
But what really cracks me up is the fact that I've heard so many guys, you know, brag about the size of their manhood. And so here's a dude that actually got rejected from a job because, first off, why were they looking at his crotch in the first place during the interview?
I think most guys that are out there would probably dream of being rejected by a job for that reason.
It's funny. It did not say in the documentary that he tried to apply to work as a weatherman, but he did end up being a porn star.
I've come in here to ask you for an erection. I mean, a raise.
Yeah. Well, indeed, it is a sight to behold. That is for sure. You know. So I have some Ask Pancho questions here that are looking for some advice. None of which is in trying to find out what to do about how to conceal my large manhood. But we do have Oscar, who's asking for some advice on what to do about his son, who seems to be stealing toilet paper. Now, we got this prior to Halloween. So Oscar obviously is suspecting something. He's writing and asking you for a little advice. He says, it turns out my son has been slowly stealing and stowing away toilet paper for Halloween. I discovered his private stash under the desk in his room. Now, I haven't told his mom or even taken them back. I neither want to yell at him, nor do I want him to go unpunished. I'm thinking I'll TP his room as a lot like a lesson or a prank. So he's wondering, you know, what do you do here in a situation like this?
I think you're spot on with this one, actually. You know, with his own toilet paper, he's been stashing away. You toilet paper his own room before he gets a chance to use it himself. and then make him clean it all up. Or just give him a swirly. Or maybe the next time is he regular in the morning? Because if he is, you know, maybe steal all the toilet paper away from it. So when he sits down on the toilet, he's trapped there. And at that point, you reveal, why don't you use all the toilet paper that you've been hiding under your desk? And then you leave him trapped there, having to figure out how to clean himself after.
I like the idea of TPing his room. But see, I would be a little bit more nefarious with my little prank. I would do it at night when he was sound asleep and be as quiet as I possibly could. And just go through, and when he wakes up the next day, literally have him wrapped into his bed with toilet paper. So when he wakes up, he's literally inundated with toilet paper, and he has no idea what happened.
Well, I think he'd know what happened. Yeah. Either that, or maybe you could ground him by taking away toilet paper. You say, all right,
well,
I guess you've lost toilet paper privileges for a week.
What we would do, we would say, you know what? You're going to start using the bathroom the way the Arabs do.
Yeah, you get a little pot of water next to the toilet there.
On the left side.
and if you're like my wife and you're left-handed, then
yeah. It's like, yeah.
Well, I've got one here as well. Here, this is. And this could probably be my wife. And so maybe you do have the right answer here. This is my wife is both easily cold and hates it. At some point when our careers allow, we are going to have to move south because this is ridiculous. The other night it was windy out, so she didn't want to go out to dinner because it sounded cold out there. If you live up north, I mean, maybe that's the problem, right? My wife gets cold pretty easily, and that just means that she, like, usually dresses too warm. And then she's like, oh my gosh, I'm sweating. It's too hot. And then when it's cold, she never dresses warm enough, it seems like. And so she never gets away. But at least it's warm down here in Florida. And it doesn't get too cold. It does get cold in the winter. It's like a wet, humid cold. Not because the temperature drops so much, but because there's just so much moisture in the air that when it does drop, you kind of, it's like getting out of a pool and then, you know, or a shower, and it's pretty chilly and breezy out. You know, as I never said, we actually like it when it starts to cool down, just because it gets so hot in the summer that it feels like a breath of fresh air when it does start to cool down. And so, you know, if you come down south, I've got one other thing, if that doesn't work for you though, have kids. Ever since Mrs. Poncho got pregnant and we had our son, she tends to run just a little bit hotter than she used to. I don't know why. I don't get it. But no, she still gets cold easily, but less so than what she was before.
Yeah. That dude's message about how his wife says that it sounds cold, it reminds me kind of the same kind of, I don't know, cognitive understanding that my mother has about things like this. It's like, how does something sound cold? You know, it's kind of like, what's the cold? What does yellow taste like? You know, or something like that. It just doesn't make sense. But my mother would say things like, you know, we're riding in the car and I'm listening to the stereo and she'll tell me to turn down the stereo because she cannot see how to drive.
Oh my goodness.
How does that work? I don't understand. You're mixing up your senses here with me. How can you hear what cold sounds like? You know, I don't know. Well, I figured we'd try to mix up your head a little bit with some insane games. Are you ready for that?
Oh yeah. Hey!
You can really get up close and personal by interacting with the podcast and get the real-time updates and a little of the articles from the stupid stories that you hear when you join Insane Eric Lane's Stupid World Telegram channel. I'll be posting links to the stories that I read here on the episodes. You are able to read the actual articles, see the pictures, look at the videos, make comments about what you have actually seen or read or even heard about, and even share some of your own stupid stories with everybody in the community. Visit t.me/insaneericlane. That's t.me/insaneericlane. You get a preview of the channel, and there's also an opportunity to just download the Telegram Messenger right there from the preview channel right to your device, desktop or mobile, for Windows, Linux, Android, or Apple. And also, you can interact with me as well on social media. Follow me at Insane, E-R-I-K-L-A-N-E on Facebook or Twitter, or visit the website at InsaneEricLane.com.
If you like the podcast, well, why don't you subscribe and rate and review it? Give it a 5-star rating, because I try to pick 5-star stupidity. Of course, if you write a stupid review, I just might read it on an upcoming episode. Rating and reviewing the podcast helps it to show up prominently in searches for those that are desperate and searching for stupidity. Of course, don't forget to share the podcast on social media feeds, since you don't want to be known for being stingy with your stupidity. And of course, when you do subscribe, you can get your stupid fix every time new episodes are published to your favorite podcast player. And here's a little hack. If you download every episode, you can listen buffer-free. That is, if you don't have adequate internet coverage, of course. And if you're looking for a good podcast app, let me recommend Podcast Addict. That's available at your app store. It is free. They have a couple of paid versions as well, and it's amazingly customizable. And don't forget to follow me on social media. Use the handle at Insane Eric Lane. That's E-R-I-K-L-A-N-E on Facebook and Twitter. And you just find everything about the podcast, and, well, maybe more than you need to find out about me, at my website, InsaneEricLane.com. Got a few that I think we'll mix up pretty well. Do you have a particular favorite that you want to get started with?
Well, let's start with Porn Star Weatherman.
Somehow I figured you would say that. I don't know why. All the large penises and the horns and penises, that's probably got you thinking about that.
That's right.
That's possible. All right. So, well, we've got some entertainers that I will read for you. And your job is to determine whether the person is a porn star or a weatherman. We got a few pretty good ones. And so I'm warning you, there may be a few curveballs in some of these things. Okay. So your first entertainer's name is Dennis West.
Dennis West. This is a good name for a weatherman. Directions do, but if it was like Dennis South, then I would think that that would probably be a porn star. It's the one direction. Yeah,
that's true. Yeah. Dennis West actually is a porn star.
Oh.
Yes, yes. Well, how about Tony DeSergio?
Tony DeSergio. I think that this is a weatherman.
Tony DeSergio. Well, Tony DeSergio is also a porn star.
Really? Oh, man.
I told you. There's some curveballs in this week. All right. Your next entertainer, Lee Stone.
Lee Stone. Gosh. This is a tough week. All right. If they're a curveball, I'm gonna play backwards. I'm going to say it's a weatherman.
Well, Lee Stone is a porn star.
Dang it. Either way, I was thinking it sounds like a porn star. I can't win either way right now. Okay.
Well, maybe this will help. Here's the entertainer's name is Eric Stone.
Eric Stone. Doesn't. Oh, man. Well, okay. Well, we can't have two Stones be porn stars in the same game. I think that this is a weatherman.
All right. Oh, yes. He is a weatherman for WFLA Tampa. All right. And your last entertainer, Evan Stone.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to say weatherman.
Evan Stone is a porn star.
Only one weatherman this time.
Only one weatherman. So let's just say these porn stars have a lot of stones.
I guess. I'm thinking that, like, you know, the porn industry is really taking off a lot faster than the weather industry is.
Well, it's a rock hard industry, that's for sure. So, well, what do you feel up to next?
Oh, man, I'll feel about anything after that performance.
Well, let's just go ahead and go for the deep dive and go for golf course or rehab.
Yeah, let's go for it.
You might be able to pull yourself up for this one. All right. All right. We got some business names. You tell me if it's a rehab or a golf course. You're first business is in Sun City, Arizona, called Emerald Isle.
Emerald Isle. I think it's too nice sounding to be a rehab. I'm going to say it's a golf course.
Emerald Isle is not in the Wizard of Oz. I always think of the Wizard of Oz when I think about that kind of thing, but it actually is a rehab.
Man, it is.
Are you drinking any adult beverages this week?
I'm on vacation, so maybe I'm taking a vacation from insanity and stupid.
Maybe that's what it is. Well, let's try this business in Aurora, Colorado. It's called Aurora Hills.
Aurora Hills. Well, I think hills, I think golf course.
You think it's a golf course? Well, it is a golf course. Very good. All right. Your next business is called Terrace Hills in Altoona, Iowa.
I'm going to stick with hills being a golf course.
Hills still is a golf course in Altoona. Oh, there's not many hills in Iowa, you know what I'm saying? But it is a golf course. Very good. Okay. All right. Your next business is called Spring Hill in Ashby, Massachusetts.
Spring Hill. All right. Well, you know what? There can only be so many stones as weathermen and porn stars. And I think there might be only so many hills as golf courses. Spring is it's a nice kind of name for a rehab. I'm going to say rehab.
Is that a hill you're willing to die on?
That apparently is. It's a hill I'm willing to get sober on, I guess.
Well, Spring Hill is a rehab. All right. And our last business is in Bowling Green, Kentucky, called Crosswinds.
Crosswinds. I think that's going to be a golf course.
Unless, of course, you're golf ball gets caught in crosswinds, but it is a golf course. You did pretty good on that one, believe it or not. All right. What are you up for next? Steakhouse or gay bar or strip club or daycare?
Let's take them in that order.
Steakhouse or gay bar. All right. Your first business that you have to determine whether it's a steakhouse or gay bar is based in Toronto, Ontario, called the Black Eagle.
The Black Eagle. I'm going to say that is a gay bar.
And this goes along with your whole philosophy that it has the word eagle in it.
That is right. Yeah. Eagle, you're going to be right.
That's a good philosophy. So yes,
nine times out of ten.
Yes, that's right. It is indeed a gay bar. Very good. I like this name. The business is called Brother Sebastian's in Omaha, Nebraska.
Brother Sebastian's. Brother Sebastian. It sounds like a monk. You know. So I think. I mean. Well, then again, I mean, there's stories about some of the monasteries, I guess. But I'm going to say this is a steakhouse.
Brother Sebastian makes a good steak. It is a steakhouse. That's great. All right. Here's one. I'm pretty sure you're going to use your typical reasoning from previous insane games to figure this one out. It's in Cheyenne, Wyoming, called the Outlaw Saloon.
Yeah, I want to say the opposite just to prove a point, but no, this is a gay bar.
Your reasoning is paying off here. It is a gay bar. Very good. All right.
I say it's the Whip It Out Saloon.
That's right. The Whip It Out Law Saloon. That's right. Your next business is called the Strip House in New York, New York.
The Strip House is going to be that New York. They really like to throw the word strip and like meat into their steakhouses. It's a steakhouse.
Yeah. It is a steakhouse. That's good. All right. So far, so good on this one. I love this one. This is in Crescent, Iowa. They've got some weird names in places like Iowa, but this business is called the Pink Poodle.
The Pink Poodle. Oh, man, this is a tough one. I think I've heard this name before, and I honestly can't remember. If I'm working on memory, I'm going to say it's a steakhouse.
Well, your memory is pretty good. It is a steakhouse. You got all five of them. That's great. All right. We're heading into the strip club or daycare right now. And here's one that's a pretty common name. It's called Shining Stars in Savannah, Georgia.
Shining Stars. I'm going to say that this is a daycare.
In Georgia, probably. Indeed. A daycare. Indeed. If you go up to Garden City, Kansas, there's a business there called Fred's Place.
Fred's Place. This sounds like the sketchiest place to drop children off. You don't want to see your children at Fred's Place because either A, they're a stripper, or B, they're going to look at strippers. It's a strip club.
Yeah. It would be a little bit sketchy to take your kids down to Fred's Place. Definitely a strip club for sure. That's true. All right. Here's a business in Henderson, Nevada called Silverado.
Silverado. Oh, man, that's a weird one. I'm going to say Silverado is a strip club.
Yippee-yay, Dogie says Silverado is a daycare. Oh. Yeah, I'm not even sure how you would make that fit on either one. You know,
it was a 50-50 for me.
Yeah, pretty much so. Okay, here's another familiar name, Baby Dolls in Dallas, Texas.
Baby Dolls. Baby Dolls would be a strip club.
In Dallas. Yeah, it would be a strip club in Dallas, that's for sure. All right. And here's another one we've heard a lot before, Little Darlings in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Oh, man, that's always a tough one here. Okay.
Just remember, it is in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Yeah, it's true. But Las Vegas, Nevada, every place needs daycare still. Little Darlings, I'm going to say it's a strip club.
That's good. You certainly would not want to take your Little Darlings to a place like that called a daycare. It's a strip club. That's exactly right. So very good. So you recovered very well from that stumble out of the gate. So I had a feeling that the porn star weatherman was going to be one to trip you up. I saw all those stones. I'm like, wow, that's going to be tough. But here's something you have no problem getting through is our fake news or Florida. I've got some headlines.
Stones was good. Yes. Passing the stones.
Yes, you're passing stones. That's right. Well, I've got some headlines. You tell me whether they are fake or they are things that actually happened in the state of Florida. Your first headline, a West Palm Beach man caught a 17-foot, 120-pound python with his bare hands after seeing it on the side of the road.
I'm going to say that is Florida.
Did you hear about the 19-year-old dude that actually got $10,000 for hauling in a python?
I think, didn't he get in like a bunch of pythons?
Yeah, he got 28 of them.
That was it, yeah.
Yeah, so definitely that is a pretty realistic headline. It's a real story. Actually happened. What is with the pythons in Florida all of a sudden?
I'm assuming that it's people that bought them as pets and just let them out in the wild.
Oh, there must be a lot of people that love pythons in Florida because they're like all over the place.
So, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, here's another headline. A Broward County man brought a tiger into a grocery store and later told police it was his therapy animal.
A tiger? I think that's a little bit of an over-embellishment. I could get by with a emotional support beer, but not an emotional support tiger. And it's big.
Took the words right out of my mouth. Absolutely. Fake news. That's right. All right. Your next headline. A Key West woman was busted for drunk driving a boat with three kids on board.
Drunk driving a boat with three kids. All right. This could be a pretty normal headline in Florida, I think. I'm going to say fake news, though.
You still think it's fake news? Huh?
There's a chance of reality in this, but I'm going to say fake news.
So you're saying at the very least it's possible that it could happen? Oh,
absolutely possible.
It's fake. But very much within arm's reach when it comes to Florida.
Oh, yeah.
So, and I love this headline. A naked man started a house fire while baking cookies on his George Foreman grill.
Yeah, I'm going to say that is a Florida story.
Yeah, it didn't say whether or not he was in the front yard or the backyard, but it's a Florida story. So, all right. And your last story. I love this one. A security guard was fired after uploading videos of his farts to Instagram.
I'll say Florida for the last one here too.
You just because it's probably something you would expect, right?
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it actually happened. That's true. Uh-huh. So we just had a story happen here in Central PA where an actual corrections officer at a state prison was busted because he was smuggling drugs into the prison.
Look at that.
So, yeah, there you go. Yeah, like I said, Florida and Pennsylvania.
Free cigarettes or something. I hope you have a good week. I'll have, maybe probably the best meal I think I've ever made. Like me personally cooking a meal, yeah, just from my own start to finish. I love seafood. I love shellfish. And I put together a shrimp scallop kind of like fried rice thing. But instead of using like soy sauce, I use white wine vinegar and just tons of like Old Bay seasoning and a little bit of like dill. And it tasted like it could have been $20, $25 from a restaurant. Easily.
Wow. I'm going to have to come down to Florida and have you whip up a few of your home-cooked meals.
It satisfied that seafood restaurant craving that you might get.
I
get it. Oh, gosh. I guess by the next time we talk here, we're going to both have cast our ballots as well.
Huh? Yes, that's right. And, I had the chance to actually hear and meet our gubernatorial candidate that's been getting a lot of attention, Doug Mastriano.
Ooh, Mafia?
He's been on Tucker Carlson. He's been on a lot of other national TV shows. So it's going to be an interesting election. Although I have a feeling that your governor is probably going to have better luck than our governor.
Oh, my gosh. He's killing it down here. I don't know. I don't know if I personally know anyone who's not voting for DeSantis. I'll say.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
This guy's killing it. Everyone down here is like, make America Florida. And I'm sitting here having over a cup of coffee. I'm on my vacation at least, and we're just doing a staycation. That's why we're eating sushi and just kind of eating a little nicer.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because we have all these Florida men doing all the stupidity in Florida, and the weird thing is that at least the government isn't stupid in Florida.
Well, it has a way of sorting itself out, right? Like if you think that people are stupid, then you're going to have a government that kind of helps limit the ability that stupid people could destroy the place, I guess, in a way, you know. I mean, I think it's great. We have people who, I mean, so many people down here, I'd be surprised if you didn't know at least one person who has had bad, like, experiences from socialism. The guy who married my wife and I, he was someone who, like, fled from Cuba. His dad fled from Cuba. I can't remember if he was born yet or not. I think he might have been a child when they fled.
Yeah.
Because his dad was in Castro's army and was like, we got to get our family out of there. And so his wife gave him like the you know, I'm going and you're either going to come with or you're going to stay behind. But I'm taking the kids with me. So your choice. And so they had to sneak out at night. And so, you know, everyone hears and knows stories of what it's like. And so, I mean, you won't find a state that is going to be more against socialism, I think, than you will Florida.
Yeah, that's good.
You got a lot of Cubans down here. A lot of, like I said, if you're not Cuban yourself, you know someone who is.
Yeah. Well, I'm pretty sure maybe in the next week or so, we'll get some stupid election stories. I know we're still getting stupid Halloween stories still after Halloween. So who knows?
That's right. And maybe this time next week, you know, Pennsylvania will be almost halfway through, I guess, their counting of everything here, right?
yeah. they're actually saying it's going to probably take a lot longer this year to get your election results because
I have a feeling that has to be more of a strategic thing of them coming out there a little bit early on that. I don't know. Seems a little bit weird and fishy. If you had issues with it 2 years ago, you think maybe we should get a hold of that, not go the other direction.
That's true. All right, man. Well, have yourself a great week, and we'll see what the outcome is a week from now on the whole political thing.
Oh, man. Either way, it'll be stupid, I'm sure.
If you think I have written all the stuff that goes into this podcast, you're giving me way too much credit. No, I have to give credit to a talented bank of writers that I rely on for most of this stupidity. I haven't got enough hours of the day to go scoping out all the stupidity that's out there. So I have to give props to Mr. Laugh's Comedy and Ad Large Media, Premier Prep, Wise Brother Media, the Universal Comedy Network, and Pulse of Radio at the United Stations Radio Network. Thanks for sticking it out through my stupid world. And if you're feeling a bit crazy, I hope you'll follow me on Facebook or Twitter at Insane Eric Lane and visit InsaneEricLane.com. And if you're feeling a bit insane and want to make your own podcast, you can do it with Anchor, the easiest way to make a podcast ever. The only platform where you can publish to major podcast outlets like Apple Podcasts and Google Play Music with a single tap of a button on your phone. Whether you're capturing your own voice, taking call-ins from listeners, conducting remote interviews with anyone, or broadcasting full-length songs from Apple Music or Spotify. Available today for iOS and Android, and it's 100% free, entirely mobile, and so easy to use that literally anyone can make a podcast, even me. Find out more at anchor.fm.